Howdy, folks. Doug McBurney here. The Bob Enyart Live Telethon is on again. We need $30,000 to keep Bob Enyart broadcasting for another year, so I'm asking you to help us. Go to the kgov.com website, click on the store, look at the subscriptions, take a look at all the wonderful products, or give us a call right now at 800-8-ENYART. That's 800-836-9278. Look at the subscriptions, take a look at all the wonderful products. Sign up for a subscription to Bob's Bible Study, the sermons from Denver Bible Church, or the Best of Bob, and get a free video as our gift to you. Donate $100 or more, get a free video. Our gift to you for helping Bob Enyart stay on the air for another year. We picked the shortest month of the year, February, so we're already running out of time. So pick up the phone now. Call 800-836-9278 or go to kgov.com to make a donation, purchase a product, or sign up for a subscription today.
Warning, warning, there's truth of ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have now, our telethon has reached $7,000 out of our goal of $30,000. So thank you so very much. One of our listeners has been involved in a labor of love with the Bob Enyart Live broadcast that's been on for 26 years now. He has been creating a topical index into the program. So we now have on our website, at kgov.com. Go to the About page, and you'll see the kgov.com/index. It's a BEL topical index where there are over 4,000 topics that are indexed to particular radio programs or to multiple programs. Bible study verses, political figures, scientific issues, theological questions, questions about cults, and so on. What an incredible effort. And this listener took that list of 4,600, it's now 4,600 topics and growing. And we expect to update it perhaps each January. He took that list and he condensed it to some of the topics that he thinks that BEL is especially helpful for as a resource for the body of Christ. And of course, the world at large, unbelievers, they get introduced to Jesus Christ through those who know him, and of course, through the scriptures. And so when somebody's driving through Denver, they're a trucker and they happen to tune into the most powerful signal on their dial, or maybe they're up in Wyoming or out in Nebraska or in the mountains west of Denver, and they come across this afternoon conservative, somewhat deplorable talk show. At Bob Enyart Live, we were deplorable before deplorable was cool. And they tune in, and they're maybe shocked by the things they're hearing, but they ring true. Just as the mouth can taste good food, the heart knows truth. So that when people are in rebellion against God, still in their heart of hearts, they know that they are wrong. And so a program like ours is designed to share the Christian worldview with as many people as we can in hopes of strengthening the body of Christ and leading others to the Lord to make an impact that will last forever. So this listener who's created our BEL Topical Index has also made a consolidated version of it, highlighting topics that he has suggested. These are some of the valuable reasons why BEL exists. And he had a suggestion. He emailed and said, Bob, that condensed list that I've made, perhaps you can share some of that with the audience during the telethon to give people, to help them remember the importance of this broadcast and how there's so much available here that is hard to find elsewhere, and perhaps people will be inclined to donate. And so we're thrilled that we're up to $7,000. Now we're halfway through the month, and the goal is $30,000. So we are struggling, and it's a vital goal. We need to reach this goal, $30,000. So please help. But I'm going to begin to share this list with you. But first, one brief news item. As you're about to file your taxes with the federal government, there are questions on the tax return about Obamacare. It turns out, breaking news, you don't have to answer those questions. The IRS will not reject any tax return that fails to answer the health insurance questions. So that's very good news. It's a good development. And certainly we'll be skipping those questions on our own returns. All right, now, our listener, I'll use his first name. His name is Chris. He's been a friend and a supporter of Bob and Yurt Live for many years. And so here, alphabetically, he says, Bob, let's remind the audience of these issues, and it should help people remember how important it is to support conservative Christian broadcasting. So under A, to begin with, he has abortion, of course, and some of the lies and the cliches about abortion regarding we don't know when life begins. That's a lie. Regarding it's wrong to force your morality on someone else. That's a cliche. If someone is going to kill another person and you stop them, you're not forcing your morality on them. You are enforcing the law. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit perjury. These are from the Ten Commandments, and these are actual laws that human governments are meant to enforce. And if they don't enforce these laws, then those governments become lawless and the culture becomes immoral and human beings are destroyed. So abortion for rape and incest, that cliche and that lie. Of course, God says in the Bible, you don't punish a child for the crime of the father. And in fact, God gets angry at anyone who thinks that you should or that he would punish a child for the crime of the father. The lie that abortion will reduce crime, the lie that abortion is a right, of course, the question of where do rights come from. And so a bunch of fascinating subtopics under abortion, including that the big disagreement between pro-lifers and those who say they're pro-choice is the pro-lifers are saying, don't kill the innocent, and the pro-choicers are saying, don't tell me what to do. Boil it down, that's the big disagreement. And abortion is wrong because it's a baby, and a baby is made in God's image and likeness. And there's no other reason why abortion is wrong other than that God said, do not kill the innocent. Okay, here at Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Radio, of course, we've rebutted the absurdity, the claim that Adam never existed, that he was a mythical character. We have rebutted the falsehood that God created AIDS and that he created AIDS specifically to kill certain people groups. We've rebutted the falsehood that aliens brought life to Earth, which is rather hysterical. You know, the atheists, they don't even have a theory of origins. Do you realize that? It's not like you could believe the atheist theory of origins if you wanted to, because they don't even have one. They don't even have a robust hypothesis. For example, increasingly, they're saying the universe came from the pre-existing multiverse, which is an infinite number of universes. So whatever they say, they try to explain the origin of it. They start with that thing already in existence. So where did life come from? Life came from pre-existing life, and aliens brought it here. Where did species come from? Charles Darwin. They came from pre-existing species. So, and typically when an atheist tries to explain away something that's complicated, they introduce something that is far more complicated. Like to explain life on Earth, they then introduce entire alien civilizations which introduce life on Earth. So now they have to explain, where did those alien civilizations come from? So all that's fun. All that exposes the absurdity that the atheist doesn't even have a robust theory of origins for anyone to agree with or to propose. What if somebody said they had a theory for the origin of the Grand Canyon? And their theory didn't include how a big hole in the ground got there. What if that was their theory? Wouldn't it be like a flaw in the theory? They're missing some minor details. So, for example, a theory on how we got here, human beings, would have to explain our consciousness, that we are conscious beings. We are self-aware. And that's one of the most significant aspects of what it means to be a human being. So if you're going to have a theory on the origin of the moon, but you forget to address the moon, or the origin of the Grand Canyon, and somehow you forget about addressing how a big hole would get in the ground, well, then your theory's not worth much. It's not even a theory. You could call it a hypothesis, but it's not a robust hypothesis if it ignores one of the most important things that it's supposed to explain. So, and we have a list of these on our website at kgov.com/atheism. Real fun. How about this one? That all life is made in the image of God. Cliche. False. Right? Pathogens. Are they made in God's image? Cockroach. We have liberals who would save a cockroach and dismember an unborn child. In fact, to be a good liberal, that pretty much has to be your worldview. And they say, I had one on the show. He said he was a leader of the Front Range Center for Spiritual Growth. And he said, Bob, I would take that cockroach and put it outside. All life is made in God's image. Even that bug, imagine that. So I said, well, what do you think about abortion? He said, oh, I'm pro-choice. Oh, so the life in the mother's womb, the little boy or girl sucking its thumb, playing with its toes, isn't that life made in God's image? Oh, I'm pro-choice. You hypocrite. So then we have all sins are equal. That's a cliche. And what an article we have on that topic on our website, kgov.com/all sins are equal. When we give you a slash and then some page name, a URL, just put hyphens between the words. kgov.com/all sins are equal. A stunning article. When Christians read that article, they realize that they have been misinformed. They have been taught a cliche instead of the truth of God. Because Jesus spoke about who has the greater sin and then who has the lesser sin. All sins are not equal. And that's an absurdity that can only be taught by someone who has not thought deeply about some of the most important things in life, that all sins are equal. Cliche. Christians believe cliches unswervingly, but it's often difficult to get them to believe clear teachings in the Bible. How did America get liberal? Basically, when you get a Christian worldview, you could answer the questions. Like, terrible things happen every day around the world, and people. Probably the number one question I get here, you know, off the air, interacting with listeners, is how could anyone do that? Why would anyone do that? And I think, why would I do my show if so many people can't answer the most simple questions imaginable? Why would anyone do these things? How about because they're in rebellion against God, they hate God, and they're expressing their rebellion with some particular sin or another? How about that reason? Well, how could parents kill their own children? How could a father, how could an uncle do this to his, how could two men do this? How could a man and a, how, please don't ask that question. Just think about it. Because if you don't ask that question, and you force yourself, probably you'll ask more interesting questions that you don't know the answer to, that I may not know the answer to, and so then we could learn together. But it is somewhat common, right, that Christians say, Billy Graham had the attention of the entire world, certainly of the whole nation, after 9/11. They were in the National Cathedral, and Billy Graham said, why is there such evil? Why does evil exist? And he said, I have no idea. That's why presidents call on him, because they know they have nothing to risk and they won't be challenged. You have no idea? Billy Graham, haven't you been reading the Bible your whole life? Doesn't the Bible teach us that men rebel against God and become evil because they hate God and they're selfish and they hate their neighbors? Isn't that one of the easiest possible questions to answer? Why do they do these evil things? And then you could put a finer point on it. Why do they think that this particular evil thing is in their benefit? You know, but at any rate, America is becoming more conservative. That's a lie or a cliche. Here at Bobinert Live, we expose the liberal in the conservative. So America is becoming more conservative. This is just a fluctuation of, you know, I remember Ronald Reagan won. America's becoming more conservative. George H.W. Bush won. America's becoming more conservative. After 8 years of George W. Bush's administration, the nation had become intensely wicked in the difference between the day he was inaugurated and then when he left office. And I'm not saying it was all his fault. It was just a good chunk of it was his fault, being as immoral as he was in promoting homosexuality and funding Planned Parenthood and opposing what is right and supporting what is evil and funding terrorist organizations and on and on and on. So George W. Bush had the Bush Doctrine, which was if you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. It's pretty good. We had the BEL Doctrine, which was, if you are a terrorist, you are a terrorist. So George W. Bush would give Yasser Arafat millions of dollars. He's a terrorist. We don't have to ask, is he harboring a terrorist? He was a terrorist. Now he's with Muhammad. I don't know if he's committing any terror, but he's passed away. Okay, so let's continue. America shouldn't police the world. That's a cliche. If the Jews are being killed, if blacks are being killed, wanton destruction, genocide in Africa, if for some reason Christians in Canada were being lined up and executed, then we have every right, and given the opportunity, we have every reason to go and stop the injustice if we can. So that's a distraction. America's not the policeman of the world. We should love our neighbors, and if we can intervene when our neighbors are being systematically destroyed, then it's appropriate. People think going into Iraq was all about weapons of mass destruction. Maybe that's what it was about for people who didn't think carefully. But Saddam Hussein was systematically killing his own people. Remember his sons, Udi and Kudi, whatever their names were, how disgusting they were, and how they would torture and sexually assault the political enemies of their father. And forget about invading Iraq. We pointed out that if the French were systematically killing their own people, we could invade Paris. Forget about Baghdad. So we go then to abortion regulations that end with, and then you could kill the baby, like wait 24 hours, give a painkiller, whatever, and then you could kill the baby, that those are immoral. Animal rights is a lie. Animals don't have rights, but human beings do have obligations not to needlessly torture animals. A good man will take care of his animals. And that does include killing them and eating them. That's part of taking care of them. Animals have the rights to be hunted, killed, cooked, and eaten. But animals don't have rights, and when people try to give animals rights, what they do is they denigrate human rights. So for the most part, all the animal rights groups advocate dismembering unborn children and other forms of killing the innocent. But they tend to be against killing the guilty, like executing mass murderers. They tend to oppose that, but support killing the innocent. Okay. Is there a right to anonymity? Again, we're in the A's, right? There is no right to anonymity. That's a cliche. We find out our rights from the way God presents our human responsibilities toward one another in the scriptures. And indeed, God said, thou shalt not murder. It shows we have a right to life. And he said, thou shalt not steal. It shows that we have a right to own property. And he said, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. It shows that we have a right to due process, and so on. There is no right to anonymity. A lot of conservatives, right-wingers, they become paranoid. They don't want to sign anything. They don't want anyone to know they exist. I'm glad the founding fathers were not cowards like that. And they signed their name to the bottom line, even though that meant that they would then be targets for destruction. And I'm not implying that everything in the Declaration of Independence was correct. It certainly was not. But God, at the very end of the Bible, the last chapter of the book of Revelation, typically on the last page of the Bible, you see that God, he lists all the people he hates. And the very first group on the list are cowards. Isn't that something? Would you think that God would start the list of murderers and adulterers and so on with cowards? But he does. So have boldness, have courage. Because otherwise, what? The wicked benefit in a nation of cowards. The wicked benefit in a nation of cowards. Then we provide our apologetics on the Bible. We're up to the B's. And that the Bible is historically reliable. The Bible and the Quran are nothing like each other. The Quran rips off the Bible. Muhammad, living centuries after the New Testament had been completed, and, you know, 1,000 years after the Old Testament had been completed, more than that. And so he tells a perverted version of various accounts in the Bible, but the Quran, Muhammad is a false prophet, and Allah is no God. Muhammad was gross also, but that's topic for another show. The Bible says that a child must not be punished for the sins of the father. And those who claim otherwise are lying. You know, they claim that the Bible says that if a child curses his parents, he should be put to death. Those who hate God, they find any opportunity to express that rebellion. And so the Bible does talk about executing a rebellious drunkard who curses his mother and father. So the Bible talks about that. Doesn't mean it's a child. Doesn't mean it's a juvenile. Richard Dawkins, et al., they want people to think that God said in the Bible, if your 7-year-old curses you, put him to death. God didn't say that. And I realize there are many nicer than God Christians who think, well, it's a good thing that was in the Old Testament, because that's pretty terrible. God obviously got counseling in the intertestament period, and he was way nicer in the New Testament. But the problem with that is that this is in the New Testament also, when Jesus quoted it, and he was speaking to the Jewish nation for whom this law applied, and he said that you set aside the command of God for your own ideas, for your own traditions. And he rebuked them for that. So, The death penalty, of course, the Bible affirms the death penalty. At our website, kgov.com/death penalty, you can see that overwhelmingly God supports the killing of those convicted of a capital crime. And so that includes murder, and that includes kidnapping, for example. At the abortion mill last Saturday, there were many pro-aborts there. They came out expressing their Trump derangement syndrome. And when they heard some of us talking about the death penalty, some of them became apoplectic that we're against abortion and we support the death penalty. And so we said to them, yeah, it's called protecting the innocent and punishing the guilty. Do you know they collectively they can't discern between guilt and innocence? Do you realize that? And that's because they always side with that which is wrong, which makes them guilty. So they're very uncomfortable talking about punishing the guilty. Very uncomfortable about that. They'd rather kill the innocent because they're not innocent. And they recognize that the innocent are made in God's image and likeness. So by killing a child, they're expressing their rage against God. That's why they get angry. And the Bible doesn't say do not kill. It says do not murder. So in the Hebrew and the Greek, you could distinguish between kill and murder. And the Bible says do not murder. But if anyone does murder, then the government should execute that person. So that means don't murder, but you should kill. And then we're still in the B's, right? The Big Bang is wrong. It's even a lie for those who know better or should know better. There was no Big Bang. And increasingly, when people search for information about the Big Bang, they're finding us right here at Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Radio. Especially if they're questioning the Big Bang, and they search for evidence against the Big Bang. Then they find us straightway. But if college students who are told that the Big Bang predictions, the predictions of the theory were confirmed, and that's how we know it's true, if they Google Big Bang predictions, they find us number one. Number one, we beat NASA. We beat Scientific American. We beat Nature Magazine. We beat, well, you know, the BBC science programs. We beat them all for Big Bang predictions. And even if they search for Big Bang evidence, we're getting there. Pretty soon, Lord willing, we'll be on page one of the results for Big Bang evidence. And if ever you Google these things, please click on our website, kgov.com. Whether it's Theology Thursday or Real Science Radio or Bob and Yurt Live, all of our material exists online at kgov.com, kgov.com. And we titled that because all authority, government is authority, and all authority flows from God. It's kingdom authority. So kgov, kgov.com. Sometimes we say kgov.com and people come up to me and say, Bob, your website, kdove.com, dove? I can't find kdove.com. It's not kdove. I know we're Christian, but it's KGov for government, because all authority flows from God, including the government's authority and your authority as a parent. May God bless you.